Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Glad you're back on here, Robbie.
Thank you. It's good to be back on here. Although Rex Road, you know, every time Rex Road gets a chance to kind of hold down the fort and, you know, be Mike one on the show, I think we all enjoy it. I always get a lot of positive feedback.
Yeah, what are you trying to say, Mike? You think I can't do it?
He's a little bit of a peacock sometimes. You know, you need the partner to make sure things are balanced out here.
Yeah, that's one word for it.
It is. So, Mike, I'll be honest with you. I look at this Tennessee men's basketball team this year, and my general thought on it has been, yeah, they're pretty good. And they've got a chance to be in every game that they play, and they've got a chance to come out on top, particularly with the way they defend. I don't love them offensively, and I just don't know that they've got enough depth in my mind to seriously be a national title threat. And that's kind of been my stance on them all year. And then I watch what they did against Florida the other day, and I'm just like, wow, well, how about that? The most impressive win of the year for them in some crazy circumstances. So where do you come down on what you've seen from this Tennessee team and what you think their potential is in terms of the threat they can be come tournament time?
Well, I think you could just did my job for me there, Robbie, because that's pretty much how I would sum it up too. Especially going into that Florida game, I've likened this team a lot of points to the team Tennessee had 2 years ago, the 22-23 team. Very good team. This team has more offensive firepower pieces, but it's calling card is the defense. Very good team, and this team's winning more than that team was. But in terms of stylistically and what you see, that's what I've seen out of it. But that feels like it changed with what they did against Florida, because suddenly it seems like they have a lot more and players who can do different things than they knew, because you took out the central component to everything with Zakai Ziegler and found out you've got more on your team than you thought because you took away their safety blanket. You know, their end of shot clock, please do something to save us guy. They had to do it for themselves, and you found out a lot more about who Tennessee is in the process.
Yeah, look, I mean, talking to you guys before the Auburn game, Mike, and I say you guys as, it, you know, the Vols beat writers, I detected, you know, some pessimism, and I think we were all a little surprised by how that game went, including just how low scoring it was, but yeah, I've kind of had that too. And then it's like, yeah, see, they can't. They do have some guys who can make some plays. The defense was incredible the other day. You have games like that. You can have a game in your home court, you know, where you're fired up and you just play out of your mind. But I also feel like maybe they can learn something from, hey, guys, you don't just have to stand around and wait for Ziegler to get you a mm-hmm. shot or take one. Like, move your body. You know, attack, be aggressive, and, like, you know, because there's just been so much on him in terms of having to do everything. Last year, he could sit there half the game and watch Kinect just take over. And he still's playing 35, 37 minutes, but at least there's some wear and tear removed last year. So do you think that this could actually change how they play on offense?
I think you could change what some guys do on offense. I think Rick Barnes will still play Zakai Ziegler 35 to 38 minutes because, you know, the safety blanket phrase, he's that for Rick Barnes as well. Those minutes are still going to be there. But I think you did see you can maybe give him some run with Jordan Gainey at point and Zakai off ball, which
yeah.
you saw Tennessee do a lot last year with Dalton, where Dalton just had the ball. That's not really what Chaz Lanier's brought. So you can do that maybe a little bit with Jordan Gainey, which that would, you know, again, you're talking about wear and tear. That would take a little bit off Zakai, who I thought did wear down at the end of last season by the time they played Purdue. So that is an option there. I think offensively it's still going to look similar. I think a lot of guys are going to do similar things. But you figured out, again, like Jordan Gainey can do more for you offensively. I thought Felix Okpara was awesome the other day against Florida. I thought he's been awesome for most of SEC play, though. You got a little bit more out of Cade Phillips. You got some more of that interior offense that Rick Barnes has been looking for all season. So they did find out they've got more pieces, but I still think they're going to rely heavily on Zakai Ziegler. Maybe they could do it less at the end of the shot clock, though, because I think that's a place where the offense just needs to be better.
It's So, Mike, I want to take like a 30,000-foot view of this thing just from the program perspective here. Rick Barnes is 70 years old, and, you know, he's made some comments about Ziegler and how much he loves coaching Ziegler. And, you know, he said, I don't know that I'd still be coaching if Zakai Ziegler wasn't here. I'm just curious from your perspective, being around Rick Barnes, what's your sense for how much longer he wants to do this? And what's your sense for where he's now elevated this Tennessee job as to the attractiveness of it when that time ultimately comes and he does step away? What do you think he's done for the program in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, to answer the program part, he's made it an attractive place because it's a place where he's won on a consistent level. I mean, Tennessee's been ranked nonstop for, I think it's four straight seasons now, been top five 34 weeks in seven seasons after only doing it 17 times in program history. Like he's shown there's a sustainable level of success that can happen at Tennessee, which is a school without a lot of basketball history. I mean, there's two Elite Eights, there's no Final Fours, and Rick Barnes has shown you can compete for those things every year at Tennessee, which is not what it had shown before outside of that short little Bruce Pearl glorious era that existed there in the early 2000s. So that's what he's done for the job, and he's made it a place where it's proven that you can win. As for the other part, I don't know exactly. That's a question that I've asked Rick in previous interviews, and you know, you kind of get the consistent answer of still love doing it, still love coming to the gym. When I don't love that anymore, then I'll know. I think that'll just be on a random Tuesday in July or something. I mean, I don't know. With the way that Rick Barnes is, you're probably not going to hear him feel that way in January. So, yeah, I don't know how many more years there are. You've seen a lot of that kind of old guard winning coaches decide it's time. I mean, Leonard Hamilton did that yesterday, I believe, announced he's resigning at the end of the year. So there's been a lot of that changing of the guard, but Rick Barnes still seems all in on having a good time with this.
Yeah, Larinaga this year too. Would you be shocked if, and I know there's some talk, you know, like you know, the fifth-year thing, and Ziegler could come back. But would you be shocked if Barnes ends it when Ziegler's career ends?
That's been a popular theory for a while, I think, that's the kind of last player that Rick sees through. I don't know if there's truth to that. I mean, it's mostly just been chatter more than anything else. But, I mean, the guy's 70. Like, any time you're talking about someone who's 70 still doing this, you understand the chatter, you understand the speculation on it. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's been anything concrete to suggest that that's exactly what's going to happen.
So moving forward with this team, you know, another, and maybe it was just desperation, and I know he's not going to be a big difference maker, but Boswell, can he give them 8 to 10 minutes? Because I feel like that's another way to, you know, just sort of, just use the depth, the obvious, you know, limited depth that you have as much as possible.
I think you can give them a little bit more. I don't know that it's 8 to 10 minutes. I think maybe the most important thing that happened the other day was all those players got a chance to play free because they couldn't get pulled. Where you're used to seeing a Darlin Stone Dubar or a Bishop Boswell go in and make a mistake, get pulled, and not go back in. Rick Barnes didn't have that option. He had no one else to turn to. So
it's
guys,
very Izzo-like.
Very. But I thought, you know, guys had an opportunity to just play. I mean, Darlin Stone Dubar just shot the ball. He's not going to get pulled for taking a shot maybe he shouldn't have because there's no one else to play. So you got kind of the true version of guys in that game. And you got the true version of Bishop Boswell. I think it was 3 assists, 1 turnover in 11 minutes. So it was good minutes from him, played good defense. I don't know that you're going to see a lot of minutes from him in every game. You maybe get a couple more, but I think it's clear what the rotation is at this point, and Bishop is kind of that last guy in that group. So maybe he plays more, but I think the roles have been kind of established since probably November.
Well, Mike, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Cool. Thank you guys for having me.
Yep, Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Our guest will react to what Mike had to say. Some more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll do all that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Dunkin' fans, come experience the new age of Dunkin' at the grand opening of their newly remodeled Brentwood location at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane this Friday. Dunkin' will be giving away 100 days of free coffee to the first 100 guests in line, starting at 8 a.m. That's right, 100 days of free coffee for the first 100 people. Plus, Robbie and Rex Road will be broadcasting live from 6 to 9 a.m. We'll have Pretz tickets to give away out there as well. Enjoy your Dunkin' favorites in the bakery case, breakfast all day, $5 meal deals, and, of course, that delicious Dunkin' coffee. That's the grand opening of the Dunkin' this Friday in Brentwood at 8 a.m. We will be out there all morning long
doing our
program on
nice,
Friday.
Nice short drive for me.
So looking forward to that. It is a short drive for you. Right around your neck of the woods.
How about for you?
It's a little bit of a jaunt for me. That's okay.
Leave the night before?
No traffic in the morning?
Yeah, sure. The traffic will be fine.
Traffic will be great. Coming in. 615-737-1025. Appreciate Mike Wilson for being with us. Joe, it was a pretty impressive win for Tennessee basketball over the weekend against Florida when they were heavily undermanned. Zakai Ziegler couldn't go. Just not a lot of options for Rick Barnes, and they come out and just smoke Florida over the weekend. What did you make of that win and kind of where this Tennessee basketball program is right now?
Well, I know you've been waiting patiently but eagerly for this breaking news, but I will give it to you now.
Okay.
In the latest athletic bracket done by me, bracket enterologist, Tennessee is back as a one seed.
Woo!
I got them back as a one seed. Part of that is Iowa State has lost three straight, including getting just annihilated at home by Iowa State. So I got Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, Duke as the one seeds. But I got to tell you, I did. I really had a bit of a revelation on Tennessee, and I've been pretty down on them. We've talked about it on the air, off the air. I'm like, yeah, they just don't have the right mix. They don't have enough. They don't have enough players in general. They've had some guys leave. They don't have enough depth in the perimeter. They don't have a guy you throw to inside that can get you a bucket. Yes, they play great D. Yes, Ziegler to me should be – he won't get All-American honors this year because his scoring numbers and his shooting percentages are not good, and that is unfortunately what a lot of people who vote for these awards, they box score scout basically. If defense is half the game, I believe it is. I think defense is half the game, right? Is it not half the game?
It's
I understand
half.
That you get paid, like in the NBA, if you're a bucket getter, you know, that like that's going to – there's more of a premium on that. I mean, Luka, we're talking about him as a top three player, and he's not very good on D. I get that. However, there is tremendous value in being a great defensive player, and that's where – and that's what he is. So he should be an All-American candidate, a real one. And that's where Tennessee is elite. They're the number one defense in the country again. It's just, do they have enough on offense? I hope that they learned from the other day when they didn't have him, and so guys put the ball on the floor and attack. Guys moved without the ball. Guys weren't afraid to take shots. And I think sometimes there is something to Rick, as great of a coach as he is, and what he's done with his program, which is tremendous. There is the pull a guy out of the game when he makes a mistake thing, and you play on eggshells. That's a total Izzo thing, too. It's an old-school coach thing that sometimes I think can be counterproductive. But if they can learn from some of what they did offensively the other day and take a little bit off Zakai and let him get a little more rest, have a little bit fresher legs, and you know, maybe actually run him off some screens and get some shots from him that way, then I think they have a chance. Let's see if they can. They got a huge one coming up with Missouri coming in. Missouri is as hot as anybody right now in college basketball.
So let me ask you the same question I asked Mike Wilson. Where do you come down on the whole Rick Barnes thing? He's 70 years old. What do you make of how much longer he's going to do this? And when that time comes, whether it's after this year, whether it's 5 years from now, whenever it is, how attractive is the Tennessee job now after what he has done with the program and the heights that he's elevated it to?
I think he's completely changed it. And Bruce Pearl gets credit too. Bruce Pearl definitely brought it to a different stage. You think back to like the Memphis UT game day, number one versus number two game where Tennessee goes in and beats Memphis. But Rick Barnes has taken it a step further in terms of in terms of consistent excellence. And they both have each of them has the one Elite Eight run. I think Rick Barnes really, really wants to make a Final Four run with Tennessee. You know, if they made a Final Four run this year, then I'd be on Rick Barnes' watch all summer, you know, especially with Ziegler moving on. Again, unless something changes, this is it for him. It seems like the right time. You know, if they don't, I think it's more likely he comes back. Look, recruiting is going well. They do well in the portal every year. They have a good system going. But yeah, I think it's got to be close. I think it's potentially close. As far as the attractiveness of the job, yeah, look, I think that it's very possible that a Rick Barnes guy could get the job. Not sure who that would be. You know, Rob Lanier is a very good coach. He got ousted at SMU, like, for no reason, was actually doing well there. He's at Rice now. Kim English, Providence, he would be a candidate. But, I mean, they could go out there and command a lot with the resources they have, with what they've demonstrated, the basketball crowds they have, what they've demonstrated in terms of, you know, talent. I mean, everything is grade A, you know. It's not a blue blood, but look at their success they've had against Kentucky in the last few years. I mean, they're as good a program as there is in the SEC, and the SEC is the best conference all of a sudden in the country, which 10 years ago would have been laughable. So I think a lot of things have made it way more attractive. They could get a really, if they wanted to go out and just open it up and try to go, you know, maybe like get a, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like who would be right now, like a young coach at a good program, but would be like Pat Kelsey at Louisville, if you really like that guy, he just got there. You know, somebody like that, or even like a more established coach at a really good program. I think Tennessee can go. I mean, I don't think they're going to get Nate Oates, but I think they could go out and get somebody really good.
I got one texter that says, I've seen this story before. 4-seeded Tennessee lose to a 512 seed at large team. That'd have to be 5-seed.
Yes,
Tennessee.
It would be. Or a 4 against a 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they went to the Elite Eight last year, and they were the 2-seed, and Purdue was a 1-seed. Purdue had the 2-time National Player of the Year, and
they didn't call any fouls.
He committed no fouls. No, no. But yeah, I mean, it was basically a home game for Purdue in Detroit. I was there, and they fought, and man, they had a real chance to win that game. Yeah, you know, and look, that team last year is one of those examples of, you know, if you mess up a couple times, you get kind of stuck in the wrong bracket. I really think that team advances to the Final Four from other regions, but they got stuck in Purdue's region, you know. But you got to remember that they made that Elite Eight run. They didn't get upset by anybody. They have. You know, they've had – I think that the team that lost to Michigan, that was a team with Kennedy Chandler, you know, that really could have done something, but they didn't.
The offense with this team scares me. Like, it's difficult for me to believe that they're going to put together a run to the Final Four this year when they're as inconsistent as they are offensively. Like, at some point in tournament time – that catches up to you. Maybe they did figure something out against Florida. And if they did, then great. Then the defensive numbers are going to keep you in it if you're them, no matter what matchup you're in. But at some point, like, you can't just have an absolute stinker on offense, which they've had too often this year.
I agree. And what I liked is that Felix Okpara a couple times just got the ball in the post and attacked. It wasn't just a pick-and-roll lob, which is how he scores most of his baskets. Cade Phillips running the floor, attacking the rim. You know, they didn't even have Milicic in that game. I mean, he has been their best big as far as offense. He can hit the three. So they also survived without him spacing the floor. And I just think, you know, if those two bigs are going to play like that and dive to the rim and attack, Milicic hit some threes. You know, I mean, Chaz Lanier is just going to – he's going to catch and shoot shooter. But I think if they – everybody – stepped up the aggressiveness, and again, took a little bit off Ziegler's plate, I think they could have enough.
That's national bracketologist Joe Rexroad.
That's right.
On the thoughts of Tennessee basketball.
There. Have some, Lenardi.
615-737-1025. We'll get back into the quarterback discussion coming up next and the Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 the game. I got a 4-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show at the Opryland Convention Center, Thursday, February the 13th. Through Saturday, February 15th. It's awesome. You're going to want to be there. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of wristbands. The National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show coming up February 13th through February the 15th. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. I had to attack your coworkers earlier at the Athletic going through the mock draft part of this. You know, had Titans taking Advil Carter at number 1, and then Jalen Milroe at number 35 in the second round at quarterback. Not a huge fan of that from a couple of different standpoints. Number 1, I'm not a huge believer in Jalen Milroe in the NFL. Matter of fact, I thought Jalen Milroe would have been better served going back to college football, playing another year of college football, and then seeing if you can refine some things before going to the pros. Now, I say that. Where's he getting drafted? We'll see. Maybe he does make the right call. But I don't love the idea of Jalen Milroe as a Titans target here. And number 2, this is similar to the conversation we had with Will Levis. You know, they took Will Levis, and they were kind of taking a shot on a guy that dropped in the draft and ended up going in the second round when there was conversation even the morning of the draft that he could be a top 5 pick. So, obviously, Will Levis did not work out here in Tennessee and slid further in the draft than anybody thought he would. Then there's the, you know, Malik Willis part of this. They took a shot on a guy in a third round that I don't know if they ever thought was going to be like their long-term starter, but you take a shot on a guy at number 86 overall, and you say, you know what, we like some of the tools, sit behind Ryan Tannehill for a little while, and then maybe you could turn into something. Well, they've taken some shots on some quarterbacks in the second or third round. I don't know that this is really a spot to do that. Like, to me, one of the things we talked about when they drafted Levis was, all right, well, if you really love the guy, like loved him, and you thought that he could be your franchise quarterback, why didn't you take him at 11 when you took Peter Skoronski? If you really love one of these quarterbacks in the draft, wouldn't you take him at number 1 overall if you're the Titans? It just, I don't know that I can envision a scenario where taking a quarterback at 35 this year makes a lot of sense to me. Now, if you trade down and you get him at 4, then okay. But 35, it's a tough sell for me.
Yeah. I mean, it depends, you know, to me on, like, on the quarterback, though, in particular, Milroe's a tough sell for me. I'm pretty pessimistic about him after what we saw this year. I don't know if I agree on Willis. I mean, I think John Robinson thought he would be their starter eventually, you know? I think that was one of those Robinson liked him more than Vrabel situations.
And then he found out that it was not Ryan Tannehill's job to mentor him.
That's right. That is right.
As he made clear.
Yes, he did. But no, I mean, I generally agree with what you're saying. It's just like there is the I mean, I have no idea. We obviously have seen teams pick quarterbacks later in the draft and have great success. You know, the 49ers, the best example. The Patriots with pre-Botox Tom Brady, probably the greatest example in sports history of, you know, a throwaway pick that turns into something incredible. Who else do we have, you know, who are anybody in the third and fourth round?
Well, Russell Wilson was a third round pick.
Russell Wilson, third round. Kirk Cousins, fourth round. So it happens. You know, the Cousins thing was interesting because they took RG3 and they took him in the same draft. And people were like, wow, really? But I guess it's like, is it possible to love a quarterback and know that other teams don't love the quarterback? And take the gamble of, I think we can get this guy.
It's possible.
Wherever it may be. It can't be too low, but I think we can get this guy. Again, the Titans don't have a third-round pick, so it wouldn't even be that. But, and that would be the only thing I could see is that, like, you just are totally going against the grain in your evaluation. You're positive that you are against the grain and that no one else looks at this prospect the way you do, and so you feel like you can get away with it. But, yeah, I mean – it's a fair thing on Levis, and that's, again, part of the whole issue with that draft, you know, is like, what were they doing? Were they all just trying to make sure they agreed with each other in the end?
Yeah, like it's – I don't know how to view this quarterback class as a whole. As you pointed out, it takes one, like especially when you have the number one overall pick. Like I worry more about the class as a whole when you're talking about a quarterback needy team that's picking it like 8th. Because then there's so many things happening in front of you that are out of your control that it's just really hard to to have that expectation heading into it. When you have the number one pick, you control things. Like, the Titans are in full control of what happens with these quarterbacks. If they love Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders and they pick him number one, nobody can stop them. Like, they're picking one of those quarterbacks at number one. I just, to me, I would love to see them get out of the business for a while of taking a stab on a quarterback in the second or third round. Like, if you don't love a quarterback to take number one overall this year, I'm fine with that. Go fill other needs on your team, and then let's revisit the long-term quarterback next year.
And then you already will have had a veteran signed, right? I
mean, yes, you would think.
You must.
Which, by the way, like, we've talked about this, and people have brought this up today on the text line. They might have a veteran quarterback signed anyway. And it may not even be the idea that some have thrown out there of going the veteran route and drafting the quarterback in terms of, like, two viable starting options. But, like, you know, Mason Rudolph's free agent, too. They're going to need to go sign, I think, another quarterback, unless their plan is to have Will Levis as the backup, which, as I said when the season ended, I just don't think it's a very good idea. That's just me. I wouldn't be surprised if they move on from him this offseason.
Yeah, I think – and, frankly, I think it'd be better for both sides, you know.
I agree.
For Levis to try to find a new spot and kind of reset a little bit. So I think that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, I think the quality of who they sign –
will tell us a little bit.
Yeah, will definitely tell us a little bit about how they view the draft. I have to think, right?
I mean, I would think, like, you know, is it impossible for them to have an idea of, you know what, let's go out and let's sign a Kirk Cousins or an Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Guys that you know are going to come in and start, but you could still draft a quarterback at number one overall. You could do that. I'm more with you on that, where that kind of feels to me like you could allocate some of those resources elsewhere if that's the route you're going.
I kind of feel like now that Cousins has, you know, he obviously fell off last season, and he got replaced. I feel like Cousins now has to accept the reality of you could just be a bridge guy. Rodgers, I could see almost being like up front, like, am I your guy? You know what I mean? I think Rodgers still, and again, his numbers were good with the Jets, even though it was a complete bleep show. He might be an example of someone who's like, I will sign with a team that wants me as their quarterback, and not just for this year, for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk.
That's it. The thing is, though, like, if I'm a team coming back to him, I'm like, you talk about, like, contemplating retirement every year. So how are we supposed to commit to you for 2 years? Now, you can tell me right now that you want to play for the next 2 years, but this changes all the time with you. Like, yeah. Look, he may retire this offseason. I have no idea. Like, there's no decision that's been made yet on that front.
The team would say that to him, and then he'd say, hey, look, here, chew these mushrooms. They taste like cow poop, but I swear it'll be a blast. And then they're all friends.
End up with a 3-year deal.
Yeah. Max deal coming your way.
Aaron Rodgers, a lot of money. Gracious.
Actually, was the Mavs GM on hallucinogens this weekend? That's actually, we haven't really explored that storyline well enough.
Where was Aaron Rodgers this past weekend?
Uh-huh.
In the same spot.
Little cave retreat talking personnel moves. Okay.
You know, it'd be really awesome, man. You traded Luka Doncic to the Lakers.
Yeah, man.
I don't know why I turned into some surfer guy there with Rodgers. He doesn't sound like that.
Well, maybe he does when he's, you know, he's tripping billies.
But, like, if they signed Russell Wilson this offseason when free agency begins, I mean, does that signal to you that they're automatically not taking a quarterback?
No. I think no.
Who could they sign this offseason where you were like, there's no way they're then following that up and drafting a quarterback?
Darnold, Stafford, Rodgers.
Okay, so those three.
I think anybody else has to be realistic and understand that the next guy could still be coming in April. I think those three, and again, I know a lot of people will say, I don't care what Aaron Rodgers has done. It doesn't matter. I don't think he's going somewhere if he doesn't feel like he is the man.
Well, and I also feel like if you're signing Aaron Rodgers for a year, that tells me that you're at least putting forth the effort to try to win football games this year. And don't you want to maximize that? Like a first-round pick or first overall pick or a trade back used on something else other than quarterback could help you on that front.
Yeah, I would think so for sure. But you never know. Then you go out and get Cam Ward, and then 6 weeks in, Rodgers is buns, and there you go.
I mean,
as Trevor says here, every option out there is buns.
We have we have evidence of Rodgers being a mentor to a young quarterback, worked out pretty well. Did a good job.
That Jordan is Love. True.
Maybe that's what he's here for. He could be the next mentor for Cam Ward. Could I'm just be. Saying. He's done it before. Would not be his first time.
He's got unwillingly, a house here, but he did it. He can have the whole team over for barbecues.
Yeah. And by all accounts.
Don't eat the mushrooms on the hamburgers.
Great teammate to Jordan Love.
Yeah.
He'd be a great teammate to Cam Ward.
He was a bet. Well, he learned from the crappy teammate that Favre was to him.
He did.
Right.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll wrap up the show. Come up next. More of your thoughts to get to on the quarterback front. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Tune in to 1025-1063 the game today for Vanderbilt men's basketball. Commodores taking on Florida at O'Connell Center in Florida with a 6 o'clock tip-off. Pregame show at 5:30. Coverage also available on the 1025 the game app. And at thegamenashville.com, Vanderbilt men's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium February the 5th through March the 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. People having some fun with the Aaron Rodgers mushrooms part of this on our text line. Good to see.
Just we could don't get have fun with mushrooms. It's a weekday.
We could get a full season of that if he signs here.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm pulling for this offseason. I'm pulling for an Aaron Rodgers quarterback Titans team.
I mean, there's history. How much did Aaron Rodgers and Chad Brinker enjoy each other with their time in Green Bay together?
And is it the long game?
Did Aaron know his name?
You know, is it the long game that when some people think they inevitably fire Brian Callahan, like six games into next year, is Mike McCarthy the guy that steps in? Who knows? You can get the whole operation down here.
How exciting. What about Rodgers as player coach? Be like Johnny Unitas out there calling his own plays.
I mean, in all seriousness, Rodgers is, of the veteran quarterback options available, he is near the top of my list. I just think, think he can still play.
I don't think
he's still league MVP. I think he can still play.
Yeah, I think he can still play. I mean, I really wouldn't be excited about that if I was the Titans front office.
There's a lot that comes with it. And yeah, do you really want to put yourself through that? I think that's a legitimate question. Like, do you really want to – like, people complain about, the Titans not getting talked about a lot. Well, that would change that. They would get talked about with Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback.
Rodgers and Shador together again is like the absolute ultimate. The Titans are now being taught on first
lead
take
off everything
daily. Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing? It doesn't excite me. I mean, again, like my first option would be if it somehow came about would be Matthew Stafford.
Yeah,
option would be Sam Darnold because he's young and like there's still the potential to grow there. And then I'd go Justin Fields. Just because he can at least run away from this horrible offensive line.
Justin, we're going to snap the ball and you're going to immediately run to your right.
But for our purposes here on the program, sure, Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, for our purposes, I'm here for it. Great. I legitimately think he's one of the best options out there in terms of the actual quarterback play itself.
The one of the best of, as Texter said,
Buns.
A Buns group for sure.
I mean, look, we did this earlier in the offseason, and I realize it's more complicated than just the numbers, right? Like there's a lot that go into it. He's 41 years old. There's the McAfee stuff where he'd be on saying something every week. I mean, you'd have to deal with that. But just purely by the numbers, he threw for almost 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions last year. Like I would assume, based on the quarterback play that we just saw here, that Brian Callahan would sign up for those numbers today, right now, for his quarterback next year.
Yeah, no, he would.
So I'm just saying, I think he's one of the best options out there in terms of just pure play.
He is one of the best options. Well, no, but I mean, yeah, he's one of the best options. Again, the best of the Buns, Congrats. But no, you're right. His numbers are better than when I watched him play this year.
Yeah,
so
I would agree with
that. I don't know what that means exactly.
Well, and again, quarterback wins are not a quarterback stat, but those numbers led to a 5-12 team with a team that I think we would agree is significantly more talented, at least on paper, than this Titans team is. So what does that mean?
Right.
Like, what does that mean? I don't know.
It means it's not very exciting.
Yeah.
I do want to give a shout-out to Ricky W. on the YouTube chat, who posted 97 times a day, including the very important point that Roman Yossi's captaincy is probably the thing. That's the real story.
That comes up a lot.
Put a C on someone else's jersey, and I'm sure it's a totally different look this year for the Preds. They're right there contending.
He also said that he wants his captain to have more of like a lumberjack look to him.
Okay.
That'll make the difference.
Yeah, no, that's a big deal.
Well, I mean, look, you know, Roman grew his hair out a couple years ago, had a little beard going.
Was that lumberjack?
I don't know if it was lumberjack, but it was, you know, a little shaggier than we're used to with him. I kind of liked it. So look at you getting a little rough around the edges.
More like a model for Lumberjack magazine.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't think that's really the story. I don't know why we keep going there.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that there's a more overrated thing in sports, in my opinion, than captaincy of a hockey
team.
Here's what I always, when that conversation comes up, here's kind of what I always fall back to. It's like, so, like, you feel like clearly that you have the necessary leadership in your locker room. It's just the wrong person wearing the C. So I guess that somebody else wearing the C is just, like, totally preventing these other people from leading.
He's just sitting there quietly, and all of a sudden the C takes over the locker room.
Well, I'd really like to say something right now, but I can't because I'm not the captain. Or Steven Stamkos of
– right.
You know, I've done a lot of winning.
Wallflowers.
I've been a captain, but I can't say anything in here because I'm not the captain. It's just not how things operate. Now, the Stamkos thing a little bit different this year because I do think, like, he gave it some time before he just immediately came into a new dressing room and just started saying stuff all the time. Like, I think you give yourself a little bit lay of the land, but I don't think the captaincy is the root of their issue right now.
No.
Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of different things to work through on that front.
If it was, if I was Brunette, I'd be throwing the C on every jersey, every game. I'd put a C somewhere.
I'd get rid of the C. We don't need one of those.
Or put a C on every jersey.
Well, good.
Someone's going to lead. By golly.
We're not leaving this room until one of you guys gives a satisfactory speech heading into tonight's game.
Like, this take will never go away, will it?
No. I mean, eventually, by the way, congratulations to Roman Yossi. He became the all-time Predators leader in games played last night. So good for you. Surpassing David Legwan. Kind of hard to believe. 957 games.
He's a good player. He's a good captain. He's on a bad team.
And by the way, he's having a down year for his standards. I'd put that out there too, but I don't think the captain's
take the C really off.
That does it for us today. Jason Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.